Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the Savage States of America.
All right. Thank you very much, members of the Savage Nation, savages and savagettes, not members of Congress, fellow Americans. The State of the Union stinks. The government has stolen power from you in many ways. Ever since this revolutionary band under Obama has seized power, they have nationalized General Motors, they have socialized health care, they have crippled the military, they are using terrorism to terrorize you. Now remember, each time the government takes power from you, your freedom dies with it. The more power a centralized government has, the less power you as an individual have. Barack Hussein Obama is a revolutionary, and he knows this. Barack Hussein Obama is committed to transforming America into a socialist state. Don't be deceived. Obama is a naked Marxist. For 2 years, he's run as fast as he can down the Marxist highway. Now he is posing as a centrist. But remember this, everywhere Marxism has been tried, it has failed. But along comes our college professor president, president of nothing really, captivated by Karl Marx and his inner circle. Who are they? Fans of Mao Zedong, the brutal dictator of China who killed 60 million Chinese. Obama's manufacturing czar, Ron Blum, who agrees with Mao Zedong that power comes largely from the barrel of a gun. And don't forget the former White House communications director, Anita Dunn. Don't forget her at all. She may be gone, but she's not forgotten. She turns to the mass murderer of China for inspiration. President Obama has done everything possible to impose Marxism on the United States of America. Has he achieved all of his goals? Far from it. The economic state of the Union is bad and getting worse. An economic disaster was created both by Democrats and Republicans. They cared more about the bottom line than about their country. They eliminated the Glass-Steagall Act so that their wealth puppet masters could pillage the mortgage sector and bring our economy down. They eliminated the uptick rule so that those same master manipulators could use short selling to bet against the strength of the U.S. economy and win. And then with TARP and the bailout, these same mandarins, first under Bush and continuing now under Obama, have systematically drained the U.S. Treasury until now we have a $14 trillion debt. Now, what is a $14 trillion debt? Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, when our imposter president gives his so-called State of the Union speech, which will be listened to mainly by idiots in Washington and fawning sycophants in the media, he will say that he's going to join in cutting spending. That sounds good on paper, ladies and gentlemen, but what does it actually mean? It means that he's going to say that he's going to propose a budget freeze and a ban on earmarks, all good ideas. But what would that actually mean? A budget freeze without eliminating government programs would save $26 billion over 5 years. That's pretty good, right? Approximately $5.1 or $2 billion a year. It'd save about $5 billion a year. But the U.S. interest payments are $4 billion a day. So it's all not even smoke and mirrors. It's a farce. A farce that's very serious. Because just last week, the State of the Union was threatened by the forces, domestic and foreign. The president of China came to the United States and said that the global currency system that was once dominated by the dollar was a thing of the past. He brushed aside concerns about human rights, and Obama stood next to him and said it was because they had a different economic system than we do. And just the other day, the Islamo-fascist menace raised his head again when Muslim terrorists bombed the main airport in Moscow. And what was the response from the Department of Homeland Security in America? No comment. What was the response from the FBI? No comment. They arrested 70 old Italian guys. So, ladies and gentlemen, the State of the Union is not good. In fact, it stinks. You may all rise and sit down, whatever you want to do. The phone number is 1-800-449-8255. And I have some questions for you. Later on, I will give you the Savage State of the Union Part 2, which will be a 37-point manifesto to save America. It begins with 1, English only, 2, close the borders. It ends with number 37, run the country like a business and not an empire. You will not hear one of my ideas spoken tonight by the Mandarin in the White House. This is an altered State of the Union, not a State of the Union. The media frenzy around Obama's State of the Union is now at an insane fever pitch, where the empty suits and the empty skirts get into this altered state every year, acting as if the president never gave a speech before, and each year the president says nothing important and nothing changes for the better. I myself will not be listening or watching the State of the Union when the show ends tonight. Will you? Why will I not be listening? Because it's all rubbish. In fact, the Constitution states the following. Does the Constitution of the United States of America claim that the occupant of the White House has to do this every year? Here's what it states. You decide. It says the president, quote, shall from time to time give to the Congress information of the State of the Union and recommend to their consideration such measures as he shall judge necessary and expedient, close quote. In the age of email, in the age of radio, in the age of television, do we still need this Pony Express speech? Should the State of the Union speech be eliminated entirely? And finally today, I'd like to ask you a question. Is Obama your president? Now, of course, he's been elected to the office. But before Obama was elected, liberals used to run around with bumper stickers saying, Bush is not my president. Liberal bastions such as Westchester County, New York, Marin County, California, Los Angeles County, many bumper stickers used to say, Bush is not my president. Do you feel the same way about Obama? Do you feel Obama is really your president? And if you have these negative feelings, what has Obama done that has most convinced you that he's not really the president of all of the United States of America? The phone number here is 1-800-449-8255. The State of the Union stinks. I'm Michael Savage. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the Savage States of America.
I turn it off. I'm taking an Alka-Seltzer right now with the thought of the Stooge giving a speech. Do you find it offensive saying the Stooge giving a speech? Is that offensive to you? Good, I hope so, because that's in the American tradition of disagreeing with our leaders. I find everything he does to be a lie, everything he does to be hypocritical, everything he says to be a double talk. I don't believe a word he says. Moreover, he's not God. I am so tired of listening to the schmucks in the media. Oh, the president's going to say this. We heard the president's going to say, oh, what's the president going to say? Who is he? Who is the schlemiel? Who was he 3 years ago? Who was he? Who was he? A revolutionary from Chicago, put in power by the same Chicago machine that's trying to engineer Rahm Emanuel into the mayoralty. It's unbelievable to me. What's the president going to say? He's just a man. He's just a man. Even if he was the smartest man on earth, he'd still only be a man, one man amongst many. This is a democracy. This is not China. I'm not into the great man speaks, by the way. You know, the mark of a democracy is vigorous disagreement. The mark of a democracy is vigorous disagreement. The mark of a democracy is satire, sarcasm, reasoned disagreement. Who says that we have to be civil? When we have an uncivil government, why should we be so civil to them? You mean it's civil to give your grandmother a frisking at the airport and let people from the Middle East march right through? That's civil? What's so civil about this government? Tell me what's so civil about a government that is spending us out of business. Tell me what's so civil about that. And God forbid we become a nation where civility becomes a requirement that you get arrested unless you're verbally civil. The fact of the matter is there are countries on earth where there is no rancor. There are countries on earth where all the citizens smile when the leader speaks. There are countries where the people in the so-called Congress all get along. They sit next to each other. They could have two parties or 10 parties. And they actually all get along with each other. They never disagree with each other. And that's called a dictatorship. North Korea, there's no discord. There's no discord in North Korea. They're all very civil to each other in the House of Representatives, where whatever he may call it. Very, very, very interesting that in all dictatorships, there's tremendous civility in government. But it's only in messy democracies where there's disagreement and rancor. And I, of all people in the media, know better than anybody what the First Amendment is all about. The First Amendment was written by the genius founding fathers to protect vigorous disagreements, ugly speech, speech that makes your hair stand up, speech that makes your being just react to it. That's what the First Amendment was written for. We don't need the First Amendment for Joe Lieberman. We don't need the First Amendment for guys like John McCain. We don't need the First Amendment for the lobbyists and for the politicians who just never tell us the truth. What do they need the First Amendment for? They never tell you what's really going on anyway. We need the First Amendment for guys like me. And of course, as you know, and I'll say it again, I'm the only member of the American media not permitted to enter Britain for things that I allegedly said. I was not given a trial. I was not asked, did you really say them? I was not asked to defend myself. I was just simply banished from England. And yet not one major media figure has ever talked about this fact. It doesn't reach your local newspaper because they all are getting along with the government because they're part of the government media complex. Yesterday, there was an Islamist terror attack in Moscow. They blew up the baggage claim area of one of Moscow's major airports. The story has been almost completely dropped today, primarily by Fox News. And you say, well, why Fox News? It's strange that CNN is still covering the story. How come Fox, which is allegedly conservative, isn't covering the bombing in Moscow? I have some ideas as to why. Fox News is owned by News Corporation, which is about, I believe the last time I checked, 19% owned by a Saudi prince. You think that has anything to do with it? Well, ladies and gentlemen, without rancor, without disagreement, without people who are not gentlemen, we don't have a democracy. We have nothing. Absolutely nothing. And without this, you'll have nothing. Why not honesty? Why not raucous disagreement? Do you want these Stepford Wives to just sit there and applaud every time he opens up his mouth? Every second and every word like a bunch of Stepford Wives. Manchurian candidate. He said, "What? Oh, there he go. I can't listen to it, and I'm not going to. I refuse. I refuse to talk about it." New York City, WOR, Ronnie, go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation. I'll finish my Alka-Seltzer while you're talking.
Yeah, sure. I just wanted to say that you're right, as usual. And I have an interesting comment to make about tonight's speech. You know, we're going to get a speech tonight where we're going to have a president who talks about civility. Now, we already know that he said he's going to bring a gun to a knife fight, and Donald Trump eloquently last night spoke about what he's doing with China, which is the opposite of civil to the American people. But I wanted to give one more example of it, because it's true. He's going to call for civility, and it's ridiculous how hypocritical he is.
How can you have a maniac like the Tucson shooter become civil if he's insane? He wouldn't respond to civility.
100%. It's just a way of...
How about the illegal aliens climbing over the border, swimming across the border? Are they acting civilly? How about the illegal aliens killing our hospitals and our schools? Are they acting civilly?
30% of our federal prisons, like you say a lot. It's absolutely true. And if I can make one more point about this...
Will it become illegal for me to tell you the truth, that 30% of all prisoners are illegal aliens? Is that uncivil of me?
What? They try and censor you because you speak the truth on both sides. And I would just like to make this one point. That we are the greatest funder to the Palestinians in the world. And Bush, who is also a fraud, like you said before, agreed to absorb a 250,000 Palestinians and enter a peace deal with the Israelis, who are actually our friends.
Well, you know, now we're going to get into the whole Middle East nightmare. And truthfully, I have very strong opinions about it, and I don't even want to get distracted. That's your particular axe to grind right now. It's an important one, admittedly. The Jews have a right to survive and to do anything they need to do to survive. There's never going to be another Holocaust. That's it. That's the end of the story. I don't want to hear any more double talk about Palestine and Palestinians. And that's it. There's nothing more to be said. The Jews are a fact. They're not being driven into the sea. And that's it. That's the end of that story. Wisconsin, Todd, you're on the Savage Nation.
Excellent prologue this evening, Dr. Savage. I just wanted to comment to your early question. This stooge speaking later tonight has never been my president or yours or anyone in America because he doesn't represent us. He doesn't stand up for us on Memorial Day.
He is a revolutionary socialist, to be very polite about it. He has tried to impose his Marxist-Leninist stamp upon every aspect of our lives. He has only been stopped recently, and that was only recently, and now he's going to pretend that he's a centrist, and frauds like McCain are going to say he's definitely a man of the people. I don't buy it. I'm sorry. He's a very dangerous revolutionary socialist. He stands for everything that I oppose, frankly.
He convinced McShame, but not us.
Mm-hmm. The reason I'm not reacting with my normal laser-like speed is that I'm swallowing an Alka-Seltzer in anticipation of the speech. The worst part of it for me is the applause. Like Stepford Wives, they stand there. Every utterance that comes out of his mouth, the man could pass air out of his mouth. He could belch, and they'd go into great applause. What is this all about? Are we all moronic? The man could give the speech on the internet. He could just publish it, couldn't he? Why do we need to listen to him? All it does is boost his standing in the minds of his followers. Isn't that true? It's just another photo opportunity to peddle his wares. I'm not watching. I'm not listening. I refuse to do so. Civility? Yes, great. Remember where they're very civil. North Korea. Everyone gets along.
Savage.
Yeah. I tell you the truth, the Alka-Seltzer is working. It's a miracle drug. Why don't they advertise on my show? Why do they boycott my show? Why do they advertise only on liberal shows? I mean, we conservatives do use over-the-counter medication as well. You know what I'm saying? It actually worked immediately. Hold on one minute, tastes good. Play the song.
Blop, blop, fizz, fizz. Mm. Oh, what a relief it is.
That's how I feel about Obama's speech tonight. The altered State of the Union, the media frenzy just really got me sick today. And then the refutations and the protestations and the this and the that. And nothing's going to change. You want to change things? Sure, I want to change things too. I have plans on how to fix America. I have a doctorate. I've written many books. I've been around a number of six decades or more. I have a good opinion. I've had many best-selling books, which means that I can't be all wrong. Not everyone who reads my book is a dummy, right? Somebody must be reading the book who has a brain. The fact of the matter is, I have an absolute plan on how to save America. We know that Obama has targeted the middle class, which is why many of you are out of work. What you don't understand is that his taxation plan, the socialization of our healthcare system, for example, the other legislative initiatives that he's put in place and would like to put in place, what he has not done to protect your job has taken away your earnings and your power to choose how you live your life and is putting you in the hands of corrupt and pro-socialist cohorts. The border with Mexico, why has this government refused to seal the border? Why is the Department of Homeland Security not sealing the border? Why are they gutting our Constitution in the name of protecting illegal aliens? Why has the Department of Homeland Security attacked the state of Arizona for trying to protect themselves from the gangs and the drugs coming across the border? Why has Obama defunded the military and put our troops in harm's way? Why has the Wall Street, the real leaders of Wall Street, why have they never done better? while your 401k may have gone up in smoke, Obama's Wall Street, shall I say, controllers or contributors, are now creating new legislation to, again, move in like vultures and create the next bubble, which they've probably already created, which they will then burst. The media? What media? Once a forum for free speech, the Obama administration has systematically overrun the media in a hostile takeover with threats and false promises that serve only to pull the wool over the sheeple's eyes. They don't even have to put in a fairness doctrine. They've already squelched the speech in the radio business. They've scared most of the people in the radio from saying what's really going on. They've terrified you. You've got governors, illegitimate governors like the one of Rhode Island, Lincoln Chafee, who was telling advertisers not to advertise on talk radio. What do you have to hide, Governor? Governor Chafee, what do you have to hide that you would tell advertisers not to advertise on radio? Don't you know what country you live in, Governor Chafee? You live in the United States of America. You don't live in the United States of China. So, as I say, we're dangerously close to losing the nation we love, but I don't think it's too late. There are many, many, many things we could do. And I'm not going to read from my own book. I don't want to sell any books right here. You, many of you have bought it, The Savage Trickle-Up Poverty. I had many good plans. I don't have to reread them to you. It's all in pages 300 and on, a 37-point program. I'm not in the mood to read it. But many politicians have read this book, and actually many of them are actually talking about it. So let's talk about saving money for a minute. Point five, okay? Reduce the size and scope of government. So what would I do? I say, with the exception of the military and defense, reduce all departments in size by 4% each year for a total reduction in size by 16% over 4 years, and require government employees to speak English and to have achieved at least a high school diploma. That's not too radical, is it? Is that uncivil? You want real ideas? There it is. Defund, repeal, and replace government-run health care. Pass in all of the above energy policy. So if you say put a cap on annual growth and total federal spending, that means nothing. That's double talk. You need to slash government programs, and you need to go into the so-called entitlements. Unless you go after the entitlements that were put in place when the country was flush with money, when we still had a manufacturing base, before all these greedy pensioners cashed in their checks, whether they're cops or firemen, going out at 110% with fake heart attacks and fake backaches. They passed these laws like Medicare, Medicaid, things of that nature. We just can't afford them anymore. The other day I was in a restaurant. I don't even know where. I don't know who the people were. They seemed like nice enough people. I didn't know whether they were liberals or conservatives, nor did I care. And they were talking about their illnesses and complaints, and I didn't care as well. I figured that's what people do. After all, that's what family is for. And the first thing one of the family members said to the old woman who was complaining was, "Do you have Medicaid or Medicare, whatever it was?" "Oh, sure I do." She was complaining about the cost of a prescription as though she herself paid for it. She didn't pay for it. You paid for it. You paid for it. 6, 7, 8 drugs a day. 6, 7, 8 drugs a day. My parents didn't take medications of that nature and of that magnitude when they were... My mother lived to 88. Sure, she took a few. I never heard anything like this. It's a drug nation. The children are drugged. They're drugging children in the cradle. And why? Why are they drugging children in the cradle? Look, I've spent too many years talking about it. I'm not going to do it again. To me, this is a charade tonight. You understand that? So, what would you like to talk about? We could talk about anything except the State of the Union. Let's go to New York City. WOR, John, go ahead. Your topic is what?
Yes, Dr. Savage, am I on?
Yes.
Yes, sir. I'd just like to preface my remarks and say that my wife and I listen to your show every night. We really find you informative, and we really enjoy your show. I'd want to say...
Because I speak the truth, my truth, how I see it. It's an opinion that's formed upon thought and reason and facts. Some love it, and some don't love it. Liberals hate thought and reason and facts. They want groupthink. All I want to say is government good, Medicaid good, don't cut back on Obamacare. Everyone's entitled to health care. Everyone's entitled to housing. Well, who's going to pay for it, though?
Exactly. And Obama is not my president because I'm part of the majority of taxpayers that did not vote for him. And I'd also like to say that his foreign policy is basically a set of needs.
Hold on. You see, that's the interesting thing. It's a great question. No president has 100% of the vote unless he's in North Korea. And so, therefore, we always have a divided government, a divided people, a divided population. And either it's 8 years of a Dem or 8 years of a Repub. But apparently we're now being told we're not supposed to disagree with anything that the ruling president has to say, or else we'll be considered uncivil and Big Sis will bring in the black helicopters.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah. All right. Look, there's nothing more to be said. That's all. I can see you don't even want to talk about it. You'd rather me do shtick. You'd rather me do some comedy. You'd rather me talk about anything but this. I could do that. You want to really have fun? We can listen to White House Press Secretary Gibbs. Let's listen to clip 10 if you want real humor.
Rational people have come to the conclusion, many of them years ago, that the president was born in Hawaii and is a citizen of the United States of America.
Okay, I guess that's rational. Then where's the birth certificate? Please don't call on this. I'm not taking any calls on it. That it's even come up to the level of the press briefing, and the governor of Hawaii first said he'll show it. Then when he was asked for it, said he couldn't show it because of privacy reasons. You know that there's something wrong here. Both of Obama's fathers were Muslim, which unto itself doesn't mean he's not a citizen. The first father ran away after 2 weeks. And the mother then went to Indonesia on another junket as a grad student and married an Indonesian Muslim. He went to a Muslim school. Again, that doesn't mean he's not an American citizen. But does it mean he is an American citizen? A lot of people are asking. The question is, what are you going to do? What if you found out tomorrow he doesn't have a birth certificate? You think that they would say, now you have to leave the office? And who would be president then? I don't even know who he ran away. John McCain would become president? God forbid, if that ever happened. And they are, you're unqualified, Supreme Court ruled. By the time the Supreme Court ruled, it would be over already anyway. You want Biden as president? You want a man in the White House with a water gun? Let's see, Rudy Giuliani. Oh, God, why is he back again? Why is he bothering us again? Let's listen to clip 15.
You got a good look for a Godfather part. Yeah. I could have seen you being like the Robert Duvall character. Yeah.
I played the Marlon Brando role.
Oh, you did?
I put the...
No, I'm downgrading, I'm sorry.
I put the gauze in my mouth. How do we ever let things get this far?
Is that funny?
How can you ask me these questions? Ask me these questions?
Why is this moron from England? Why is this limey laughing at everything that Giuliani does? Who asked for this limey on CNN? He'll die. I mean, when I say die, you know, the media die. Then media, they're like, break a leg. You can't even say break a leg anymore. Someone says they're going on stage, you say break a leg, you can get arrested by the FBI. They could file a charge against you for saying break a leg to someone going on the stage. I don't even know where that came from, break a leg. Someone's about to start a show. You say, break a leg. Where'd that come from? It's supposed to be the opposite of don't break a leg. I don't use that phrase. I knew someone who was going to start a radio show. He sent to me, thank you for giving me a break in the beginning, blah, blah, blah. And I said, I would say break a leg, but I don't really like the phrase. I've always felt uncomfortable because most of the people who said it to me meant it. Moreover, I said to another guy, I don't complain to anybody. He said, why not? I said, because 80% of the people don't listen to you. And the other 20% are glad to hear it's happening to you. So there's no point in complaining. That's why I say I don't say break a leg. Anyone who says it to me when I go on there, they really mean it. So I don't even listen to them. 1-800-449-8255. Finally, the life's coming back to my fingertips. I'm like, no circulation today at the thought of this coming up tonight. There's no news. Nothing obliterated. You think nothing happened in Moscow. No bombing, no airport bombing, no body parts, no Islamofascism, nothing. Didn't happen. It's not on Fox News, therefore that didn't happen. Didn't happen. So let's look at the reality of this. This is a topic I wanted to talk about today, other than the mock savage State of the Union, which I think is still legal. We're going to hear a lot tonight about America becoming competitive and returning industry. He's going to give us all of the sop that he thinks we want to hear, right? And he's going to say that we need to restore... we need to put more money into schools. All well and good. I mean, I earned a doctorate, I earned two master's degrees, and I worked very hard for them. But let me ask you something, to be honest with you. China now graduates more English-trained engineers than the U.S. and has become the world's number one exporter in high technology. why do you suppose that the students in America are not excelling in science and math? Could it be because they teach them how to put condoms on cucumbers, that the founding fathers were racists, that America is no good, that they spend half the day talking down about America and that half the teachers are science illiterates? So you say he's going to talk about putting more money into basic research in math, the physical sciences and engineering. Well, you could achieve that in other ways as well. You can eliminate all programs in ESL. Eliminate English as a second language. You'll save billions of dollars. That's number one. You want my idea on how to start spending money on the children who are smart and fast. That's what I say. You're never going to bring up everybody to an equal level. Some kids are smarter than others. Some kids are more motivated than others. Some kids come from better families than others. You have to fund those kids. Those are the kids who need the help. Instead, the society's gone upside down. And so, ladies and gentlemen, nothing is going to change. Can the U.S. still compete? I doubt it. Until you structurally change the mindset of those who are in charge of the educational system, you're not going to build more science and more scientists and mathematicians. That's very important for you to know. You could say more citizens should become engineers or scientists or mathematicians. What is that going to mean when you have school systems that are overrun with illegal aliens who don't even speak English, who are spending 20% of their budget on English as a second language, on bilingual education, on multiculturalism, on lessons about how evil America is? How can you turn a nation around? You think China spends money in that manner? You think China spends money in their schools telling people how evil China was under Mao Zedong when 60 million Chinese died? You think they spend money in the curriculum? You think that they have Mandarin as a second language? Tell me which school in China spends any portion of its budget on Mandarin as a second language for, let us say, illegal aliens from Korea or illegal aliens from God knows where. Answer, none. So it's the mindset, it's the rot, it's the communism, it's the crippling liberalism that has infected the body politic, that has crippled our schools, poisoned our children, wrecked our military, and destroyed the country's ability to survive. And until it, and I mean every word I... Now you say, well, that's calling for violence. Only if you're a violent person. I'm not violent. I'm a peace-loving person. We need a revolution at the ballot box. I've said this for 16 straight years. We had one in November, didn't we? And what kind of revolution did we get? We sent the message to Congress. And what did we get? We got John Boehner. What did we get? We got the pink shirts. I'll be right back.
Savage.
One 800 449 8255. 1-800-449-8255. You're gonna hear a lot of nonsense shortly. I'm not gonna listen to it. I'm not gonna watch it. I can't stand it. I can't stand the endless stupid applause and the sitting up and the sitting down and the standing up. What would a rational person get out of such a speech? Why doesn't the president just publish it on the internet? What kind of democracy is this? It's a fraud. The whole thing from top to bottom. You know, I just read a report that the TSA says that they can't protect us from a bombing at an airport like what just happened in Russia. They have a program called SPOT. TSA says that they're not capable of detecting a Moscow-like attack. That's even though they have a $212 million federal program that was designed to spot suspected terrorists at American airports. Chairman of the House Transportation Committee, Representative John Micah, said that this program for $200 million set up in 2006 by the TSA, which has 3,000 behavior detection officers, what are their pensions? Behavior detection officers at 161 airports could not stop an airport terrorist because they couldn't spot him, even though the officers received 4 days of classroom instruction on how to spot certain unusual behaviors. You need racial profiling. You need ethnic profiling to start with. That's all. You want to be intelligent about it? Start with the obvious. I mean, if you want to be a moron and you want to say you can't do it, then you're going to get killed. That's all. The country's finished. If you want to talk in generalities and you want to continue to be a moron and say you can't ethnically or racially profile, then expect the bomb to go off. We know who's setting off the bombs. What, do you got to be a genius to figure it out? No, we don't know anything. No, they're coming out of churches and synagogues and Buddhist temples, but they're not coming out of mosques. Oh, no, don't say mosque. No, every mosque is preaching love and kindness and acceptance of all the other religions in America. No, there's no activity in a mosque in America that we should even be concerned about. Don't even dare say it, because the TSA or the FBI or whatever will investigate you, rather than putting a listening post into every mosque in the country. I'm sorry. I love my country. I'd like them, the Muslims, to show their loyalty to the country. I'd like them to bend over backwards to show their loyalty to the country. I am sick and tired of apologizing for what I know to be true. Is it any wonder you can get the press doing radio in an age of lies? Doing radio in an age of double talk? And if it's illegal what I just said, then let me know where it's written, and I can't tell you what I think needs to be done. Okay? The Israelis racially profile, they ethnically profile, and they behaviorally profile. In fact, I went to Israel twice in the late 70s. They profiled me. I'm not a Muslim. They gave me a workover. They didn't like my eyes. I didn't like them at all. I didn't like Israel. I didn't like Israelis. I would never live there. I was thinking of it at the time. Why would I go backwards in life, I thought to myself. But that's irrelevant. That's my own story. They live in a tough neighborhood, so they become very mean, tough people. Doesn't mean I have to like them because they're Israelis. I never met an Israeli I liked. That doesn't mean that I'm not in favor of Israel surviving, because I like their neighbors even less. That's all. How's that? Does that work for you?
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
That's what we need right now. Two skeletons dancing in a closet. And I don't mean red. Welcome to the Savage Nation. Two skeletons dancing in the closet of life. You want to hear the news that just came out? Like, I'm shocked. You know, he's going to run for president. He's going to run. Remember Fred Thompson? Remember Fred Thompson? I never was a fan of Fred Thompson. I knew he was a fraud. Fred Thompson turns to lobbying for trial lawyers. I swear to God, it just came out. Former Republican presidential candidate, no less. Yeah, he was a candidate like I was a candidate. Former is registering as a lobbyist for a Tennessee trial lawyers group. This is amazing to me what goes on in this country, how people are so gullible. Rudy Giuliani is going to be president, you hear? When he ran last time, I told you, west of the Hudson River, no one liked the guy. Now they're shopping him around to some limey on CNN, and suddenly he's resuscitated his career. He's the big, telling you what to think of Sarah Palin, impersonating Marlon Brando. You know, it's old already, Rudy. Move on. The Godfather was in 1970. It's 2010 already. Stop with the gauze in the mouth. That may go over well at weddings and bar mitzvahs in New York, but you're not running for anything anymore. Former New York City Mayor Giuliani. I'm supposed to get excited about him at this day and age. Another game player. So now the watchword now is civility. Be civil. Let's all get along. Let's all get along. Let's all be civil. Don't you dare say a word against us. Now that we've taken away your rights, be civil. All right? Now that the Democrats have stolen as many rights from us as they can over 2 years, now all of a sudden they're screaming, oh, be civil. After screaming every insulting thing in the world to the town hall meeting attendees, and the Tea Party members calling them Nazis, calling them every nasty name in the world. Now suddenly they're calling for civility, using the murders in Tucson suddenly as a guide for how we should behave. Well, we're not insane. We know what's going on. We know that this call tonight for the end of earmarks and the end of cut down spending means nothing. The spending cuts mean nothing. Unless you cut departments by 4% a year for 4 years, you're never going to solve this problem. Unless you rein in Medicare, Medicaid, unless you rein in Social Security, it's all over. Unless you stop giving illegal alien services that they're not entitled to. Unless you start taxing illegal aliens in cash if you need to. Why don't you fire the TSA agents who are frisking grandmothers and make them go shake down illegal aliens and take money out of their pockets as they go back over the border? How many billions of dollars a year go back to Mexico that should be going into our tax base? $15, $20 billion a year? Go to Western Union, you'll find out how much goes back. Western Union probably sends $15 billion a year to Mexico alone. That's money that should have been taxed. If they're suffering so badly here, if it's such a racist country, how come they have excess money to send home to the home country? How's that possible? And that's just Mexico alone? You imagine what's really going back to all of the home countries that they're fleecing out of the system because they got free everything. Free medicine, free legal, free this, free that, free schooling for the children. Go look at a mall. Go walk around a mall. Go take a look at who's having babies. Take a look at the mall. Go ahead, take a look. You see 14-year-old illegal aliens or anchor babies with two children in a carriage with a gangbanger husband, so to speak, with tattoos on his eyes walking around next to her. Why is he not working during the day? Why isn't she working? Why is she allowed to have babies? Why? Because each baby represents $400 a month. That's why. Any other questions? So you want to straighten the country out? You're never going to straighten it out with this weak system that we have. Never in a million years. The system is rotten. The system has been destroyed by liberalism over the last 70 years. And unless you alter the system itself, you're never going to change it. And unfortunately, here's the kicker. It is being altered for the worse. Obama is a revolutionary socialist, and he is altering the system so that it can never come back. Never. If this man is allowed to go forward with his agenda, we'll never save the country. Oh, he's going to act like a big centrist tonight. Yeah, he's a centrist. He's a centrist. There's no comparison I could give. My mind isn't as sharp as it normally is. I have a V18 mind, but right now it's functioning on 12 cylinders. I don't know what it is. I'm just feeling the whole season hit me. I'm so fed up with the liars in Congress. I'm fed up with the president's fraud. I'm fed up with his play acting. I'm fed up with Rahm Emanuel making believe he's from Chicago when we know he hasn't even been there right in front of our eyes. He's been in the White House. Now all of a sudden he's from Chicago. He meant to be there. He was almost there. He left his underwear there. If you look in his closet, there's a pair of jockey shorts that were there over 12 years. Look at the DNA. It proves that I was in Chicago. If you look at the underwear, there's a pair of dirty socks underneath the rug. If you go in there with a limelight and put the limelight on the forensic science, you'll see that the underwear has been there for over 12 months. Therefore, I'm a citizen. What kind of country is this when they can nakedly steal offices from you and run for office and not even there? Not even there. Didn't even live there. Civility. What does civility mean? It means shut your mouth and let us keep fleecing you. That's what it means. And as sure as I'm sitting here, you know how the housing bubble was created by certain people? Now, you can blame if you want. Everyone made as much money as they could. The smallest person who bought a $50,000 condo and sold it for $62,500, 2 years later thought that he was Donald Trump. Then the guy bought a house for $100,000 and sold it for $109,000. He thought he made $9,000. Then he took the $109,000 and nothing down. He rolled it into another one. And he bought one he couldn't afford. He sold it for $172,000. And on that basis, he thought he was already a combination of a real estate mogul and the Supreme Court justice. He rolled it into a $400,000. And then he rolled that one and made $510,000. And then he made $32,000. And then he turned it around before he knew it. He built it up. He bought a $1 million house and he bought a boat. And he bought another car, and then all of a sudden the bubble collapsed, and he doesn't know why it happened. He's the reason it happened. You could say the billionaires made more. They did because they're smarter than you. But you were exactly the same as they were. You could point the fingers all you want. You could say Goldman Sachs created the housing bubble, as the left-wing fanatics who aren't worth 10 cents keep saying. It's a little anti-Semitic to keep attacking Goldman Sachs. It's easy to say Goldman and Sachs and wink, wink. That's what they want to do, because it's like it feels good to them. To say Goldman Sachs, Goldman Sachs, Goldman Sachs. Why don't they say Morgan Stanley, Morgan Stanley, Morgan Stanley? Why do they say Goldman Sachs, Goldman Sachs? Because it's the old canard. The Jews did it. So every time you hear them complaining, and take a look who's accusing Goldman Sachs day and night. Who's doing it? The same left-wing communism, Rolling Stone, Mother Jones, very reliable publications. High Times may as well report on who did the housing bubble. Goldman Sachs, Goldman Sachs. But you all cashed in on it if you could. Everyone who had any money put it into real estate. Then it blew up. Say, oh, they did it to me. So what are they going to do next? See, the question is, I'm figuring out what bubble they're going to create next, and I'm trying to get in on it this time. I mean, I'm thinking about it. I read about guys who made $1 billion on credit default swaps. I still, to this day, don't even understand what a credit default swap is. I think they created a fiduciary instrument. They basically were trading financial instruments that had no value whatsoever, but in trading them alone, they were betting that the market would crash. They're buying mortgages that would go down. They're betting against the housing market. They were 10 times smarter than me financially. I didn't even understand it. It takes almost a wicked genius to understand it. They made billions and trillions of dollars. So I look back and I say, my God, why didn't I put $1 million into credit default swaps 2 years ago? But I didn't know what they were. So now I'm saying, wait a minute. The same guys who did it are still around. They didn't go to jail. They're running the country. They're in the Treasury Department. They're in the Housing Department. They're in the Labor Department. Everywhere you look, they're there. They're still there. So I figure out that they're going to do it again, only this time it's not going to be a credit default swap for housing. I figure they're going to do it in another way, like with pensions. But you can now see what I'm saying? You could probably make a fortune betting against your own pension if you can only figure out what fiduciary instrument that would be. Would it be a pension default swap? Is that the next thing they're going to do, start trading against your pension? Yes, if they could. They can change the rules, sure. They got rid of the uptick rule, as I pointed out, in trickle-up poverty. Why not get rid of a rule where you say you can't trade against pension collapses? Why not? They're probably lobbying as we speak. Maybe they'll hire Fred Thompson tomorrow. Maybe they'll hire Rudy Giuliani to lobby for because they can move against pensions. I don't know. Tomorrow, we don't know what'll come. After all, you could buy a congressman. Donald Trump, I was in Florida a few weeks ago. He's been on the show a few times. We've come to enjoy each other's minds. So he says he was giving a little talk to the table I was at, holding court, as it were, because he is the king of his own palace, and everybody respects him. So he's talking about, you can't find a product, he said, made in America. So I raised my hand. I said, you know, Mr. Trump, I disagree with you. He said, what do you mean? I said, you said 2 minutes ago to this table that I'm sitting at that you can't buy anything made in America anymore. And I said, I disagree with you. He said, what do you mean? I said, you can buy as many congressmen as you can afford, and they're all made in America. Well, he got a kick out of that one. I'll be right back.
Savage.
There goes my heart. There goes the one I love.
I love this song. I haven't heard it in years. It used to be my father's, one of his favorites. Was talk about putting it on his tombstone when he died, but it was a little too. No, you don't play with a thing like that. I'm feeling very vulnerable lately. I don't know, Jerry Vale, Gennaro Luigi Vitaliano. What a beautiful voice. Play it a little louder. Gennaro Luigi Vitaliano. Listen to this melody. Go ahead, tell me you can sing like that yourself. July 8th, 1932, Bronx, New York. So many great singers came out of the Bronx, street corner people. You can't even produce a singer in America. Everything is whiny chick music. Wherever you go, it sounds like it's from Bombay. Where you go into a changing room in Macy's. Every minute it's another whiny chick. Where the baritones go and the singers? You don't hear like a voice like this or Dean Martin. Everything is a whiny chick song. Out of country. Feminized, destroyed. The whole country's feminized, rotten from the inside out. The pink shirts now are going to save you. John Boehner's going to save you. Everything's a show trial with them. Let me hear Jerry Vale again. Gennaro Vitaliano. I'm in such a bad mood, I don't even want to eat food tonight. That's a bad sign. When I lose my appetite, that's not good. My fingers are cold, I have no appetite. It's the thought of Obama giving the State of the Union speech. I've become icy cold and I lost my appetite. I had to take an Alka-Seltzer an hour ago. The thought of the fraud giving the State of the Union. The guy with the big ears, the Alfred E. Newman. I don't believe this. The president's going to speak. What will the president say, Doris? Well, the president is likely to say that we're going to cut here and cut there, trim here and trim there, just a little bit of a trim, and we must be civil. By all means, be civil. Give up your guns, give up your bullets, and be civil. Give up your tongue, give up your thoughts. You must be civil. Be civil above all. You must not disagree with anything we socialist Democrats say. Now that we're in power of taking away your rights, certainly be civil. Play Jerry. Okay, thank you very much. Jerry Vale, Gennaro Vitaliano, 1932. So I don't know whether it was the bad Chinese food I had for lunch or it's him giving the speech that's throwing me off today. It could be a combo, why I chose it. See, this is the thing about science that's very hard to know. What actually caused the indigestion? Is it the thought of Obama's speech or that I chose the Chinese food and I knew it would get me sick? In other words, you do certain things that you know are going to affect you negatively, right? So you say, well, I didn't know. You did know. You did know. You see, this is the problem with epidemiology. It's why it's not a really great science. It's very hard to prove what actually came first, the president or the Chinese food. It's very hard. It's like the chicken and the egg. It's whether the thought of the president's speech or the Chinese food. It's like when I was in the first grade, I had a teacher. Every time I go into the first grade, I get a migraine. I get a migraine and feel nauseous. Now, was it the confinement of the school? Or was it the fact that the teacher wore the most disgusting perfume known to mankind? They called it toilet water in those days because he went to poor schools and the teachers were poor, God bless, and she wore toilet water. It stank. I got a sick migraine every time I walked in the classroom. And I didn't know at the end of the day, was it her or the smell of the perfume? Or was it school itself? It was very hard to figure out. But I had no control over the perfume she wore. And by the way, I don't know how to say this to you. I hope she's gone to heaven, but she was a little sick in the head, too, in the first grade. Don't think the pervs just originated now. Many people who go into the teaching arts a little to take advantage of the children, by the way. The children, they're like dogs, you know, like pets, you're supposed to. They're innocent. She had a little habit. You're sitting in the first grade, you're looking up at the blackboard, and she, I don't know how to put this in a family manner. Let's put it to you this way. She would expose a certain portion of her anatomy that you weren't supposed to be looking at while she's asking you the multiplication tables. And I said, wait a minute, this isn't right. There's something wrong here. No woman that I know sits like that on a desk exposing that portion of her body. Why is she doing that? And she was very overweight and ugly. The answer was because she could get away with it. That's before they knew pervs were. They didn't have MSNBC going around looking to catch people. That show sickens me, by the way. I'd like to see that guy arrested. Who is that guy who does that? Predator in Action on MSN. What a sick channel. Everything you do is sick on that channel. Brian something or other? The guy, that skinny white guy? Okay, the perverts, I don't like them, but I actually like him less than the perverts. How about the decoys? Hi, I'll be right down. Oh, man, have some lemonade. I'll be right down. She's like a 25-year-old policewoman acting like she's 14. Hi, I'll be right down. Then the cameras come out. These guys are so stupid. Instead of shutting their mouths and leaving, they sit down and say, hi, I'm with NBC. Can I talk to you? The cameras go on. Am I on television? Did I get caught as a pervert? Yes. What did you come here for? For sex? Oh, you schmuck. You don't even call a lawyer at that point? These guys are sick in the head. Yes, they shouldn't be predators on the children. But you know what? Let me ask you something. Isn't NBC a bigger predator by preying on the predators? It looks to me like NBC is the biggest predator of all. But then again, it's one man's opinion. Forgive me if it's not too civil. Okay, let's have another rock and roll song. You have another Jerry Vale for me on the Savage Nation, Jerry Vitale.
I'll be loving you.
Oh, now picture you're in a nightclub, a big white shirt. The guys are all in a wig, big white shirts, right? Men knew how to dress in those days. Why does every guy wear like a shirt? If they wear a tie, it's hanging down, they have a half a shave. What's that about? Why can't there be a man? Either shave or get a beard. What's with the half a shave? And with the tie hanging down. What's that supposed to mean? You're too cool to put a tie on properly? By the way, I shaved my beard off. I didn't tell anyone that. I did it the other day. Maybe that's why I feel cold in my... This is like Samson. Maybe it's a Samson thing. Maybe the beard did give me energy. I don't know. It's gone. I have shaved my beard off. That's right. I made the announcement just now on the Savage Nation. I've been seen by no one except my assistant in 3 days. January 25th, 2011, Michael Savage said that he shaved his beard off.
No one knew, my
Savage.
Dear. How lucky can one guy be? I kissed her and she kissed me. Like the fella once said, ain't that a kick in the head?
Well, we're coming back from the bowling alley, the girls and I.
Was completely black.
We figured that we'll put out the hogwash about civility, see if we can shut up them right-wingers. Maybe we can legislate civility, you know? The girls and I were figuring a way to shut up those white males. Just use the word civility. Don't say it to the imams in the mosques, you know? Don't talk about civility in the mosques, no. Just shut up the white guys. I was looking up civil. adjective, polite, courteous, well-mannered. I'm nothing against politeness or courteousness or well-mannered behavior. But when you have a revolutionary government, as we have under Obama, in my opinion, I've written a book on it. I'm a thoughtful man, a considered man. I presented my facts in trickle-up poverty. I believe he's a revolutionary. I believe he has taken over the government with other revolutionaries. I believe they've done as much damage as they possibly could. And now they're going to hide and pretend to be middle of the roaders and civil. And they're going to shut you up by saying, be polite, be courteous, be well-mannered. Be polite, be courteous, be well-mannered. Well, you can be polite and courteous and well-mannered, but you can also disagree with them quite vociferously. The mark of a dictatorship, by the way, is an extremely polite, courtly nation. Look at ancient China. Look at current North Korea. They're all very polite with each other in their so-called Congress. In fact, if anyone disagrees with the dictator, he's executed after being worked to death. There's no lack of civility in North Korea, Syria, Iran. Tremendous civility in the Iranian parliament, isn't there? Everyone agrees with the Hitler of our time. There's even great civility in many other countries where there's no democracy. So watch out for the civility talk, because it's coming from the least civil people in the country. The socialist Democrats who have hijacked this nation. Now suddenly, that they don't have an absolute majority, are telling you to shut your mouth and to try to insult you by embarrass you into being civil. Don't call it like it is. No. Don't call Harry Reid what he is. Don't call Obama what he is. Don't talk about Nancy Pelosi as the monster she is. Be civil. Just shut your mouth. Act like John McShane, the Manchurian candidate himself. Cleave to the center. Look at what's coming from, no less. Civil. As I say, there's a place for it. But when you have a bankrupt nation that's being even more made more bankrupt, when you have the most powerful military weaponry on earth not being used against the enemy, when you have soldiers that were sent over and over and over again, redeployed over and over and over again into endless wars without a clearly defined goal or mission, how much civility can you expect out of the people? When you have unfair competition, when you have tariffs on all American goods going to China, and you get up there and you say, I want tariffs on U.S. goods, that's not civil. I'm sure they'll say that's not civil. George Washington himself, by the way, you're going to go back to the early days of America, imposed tariffs on all goods coming into the early days of early America. Why? In order to get this young nation's manufacturing base going, he had to put tariffs on goods coming from England and France and Germany, the established nations of Europe, in order to make certain that domestic industries could thrive. He put tariffs on incoming goods. Common sense, right? Where are the tariffs on incoming goods today? Now that we're busted over the knees of China. We're broken over the knees of the people that we put in power. We saved them in World War II, by the way. When have you last heard that? Has one quisling politician reminded China recently that if it wasn't for the United States government, they would have been overrun by Japan? Has anyone reminded them what the Japanese did to them with the rape of Nanking? Does anyone told them about Chenault's flying tigers flying over the Himalayas from India to bring them supplies so that the Chinese army could fight the Japanese? Has anyone reminded them that we gave them what they had and that it was only hijacked by Mao Zedong, the communist Chinese dictator? No one's reminded them, because I don't even think they remember it or know it themselves. So what's the good of me saying all of this to you? You're not going to hear any of this tonight on the fraudulent speech. Every minute, every utterance coming out of Big Ears. Every utterance, Big Ears. Every time I see him, I say there's something wrong with this picture. I don't think he's that brilliant. I don't think he's that smart. I don't think he's that eloquent. He's just an ordinary guy. He was picked by some powerful people as their guy. They put him in. Okay, it's not the first time it's happened. And now every utterance, oh, the president's going to say this. I wonder what he's going to say. Well, Gloria, it's certainly true that tonight is his big test. And if he can hold the line to the center, there's no question that his ratings will soar. Back to you, Schmuck. Schmuck, what do you have to say? Well, I have to say about the same thing you do. I have to agree with you, because I want to be very civil tonight. And I can't disagree with a thing you said tonight about the president, because he's absolutely the most brilliant man that's ever existed in the history of the human race. It's been found on Nat Geo that no cranium in the history of the world has ever contained the brain of this magnitude, of this incessitude, in this investitude or this invincitude. And therefore, we must say that the president's words, every word, their words, his words, my words, mean nothing compared to his words. Ladies and gentlemen, the president of the United States of America. That was a pretty good imitation of who? Anyone, who did I just do a mild imitation of? Lord Buckley. But you know, you think I'm talking about William Buckley. They're talking about William Buckley's father in England. I'm not. I am talking about a comedian many years ago who did a thing like that. Do you have that? The Nat, the great Naz? Hey, Wolf, can you dig up the great Naz?
I look at all you cats and kittens out there whipping and wailing and jumping up and down and sucking up all that juice and patting each other on the back and hipping each other who the greatest cat in the world is. Mr. Malenkoff, Mr. Talenkoff, Mr. Eisenhower, Mr. Woozer, Mr. Wazzer, Mr. Woodhill, Mr. Beechhill, and Mr. Churchill, and all them hills going to get you straight. If they can't get you straight, then no cat that knows a cat will straighten you. But I'm going to put a cat on you. Was the coolest, grooviest, sweetest, wailingest, strongest, swingingest cat that ever stomped on this jumping green sphere, and to call this your cat, the Naz.
Now picture this in a small nightclub like the Village Vanguard in those days. Doesn't exist anymore. Now you got idiots who aren't funny in comedy clubs. All they do is talk against their own race or religion or their own sexuality. That's comedy today. You know, I come from Korean background, but Koreans are this. Korean. Do you ever see that fat slob? I can't believe it. All they do is put down their own ethnic group in the audience. Sits there. The crackhead sitting in the audience. That's all. That's comedy today. There's no comedy. There's no talent. There's no nothing. Zero. A generation zero. That's what we have. Generation zero, and you're talking about how you're going to save America. Yeah, they're all going to become scientists. All of the inner city children are waiting for more money for science and math. That's all they need. That's it. That's all they need is more money for science and math in the inner city. That's going to save us. The next Einstein is waiting in an inner city in the United States of America. If only there was more money for education, we could have another Obama. That's what we're going to hear. After all, look at what was done with him with education. That's all. Look how lucky we are. New York, WOR. Tommy, you're on the Savage Nation.
I couldn't agree with you more. Civility is shut your mouth, and it's coming from the people who go throw bricks through bank windows and ride in streets, and you have people
remember
like
when
Sharp.
Remember when they threw bricks at police horses in New York City and elsewhere during the various meetings of the bankers and whatnot? They were burning trash cans, burning McDonald's. Where'd they all go? They're all working for Obama. Where do you think they are? Every last one of them has some government job right now or government grant.
Time my kid goes to school, they want him to sit still. He hits the bully back. He's the problem, not the bully. He wrote a report on Earth Day that was anti-global warming. They sent him to the principal's office.
Oh, my God. It's absolutely out of communist China. It's become that bad?
They sent
him to the principal's office because he dared say that global warming is a fraud created by Al Gore and a bunch of thieves?
Mean-spirited, and he was only in the fifth grade. I was cracking up what I was reading. It was funny.
Tommy, this is very it's sickening. It's very dangerous. But the schools are what's destroying America. The unions destroyed the teachers. The teachers destroyed the children. The children have destroyed America. How's that?
Your kid's full of Ritalin, so he doesn't act normal.
That's right. That's right. Any child who acts like Tom Sawyer today is put on drugs. If Huckleberry Finn were alive, they'd put him on medication. If Tom Sawyer were alive, they'd not only medicate him, they put him into a mental hospital.
They claim he's a racist now anyway. So
you know, I don't care what they claim, okay? I had the same thing when my kids were young 20 years ago. I stood up to every one of those goons. I didn't let them pull that number on me. I didn't let them tell me to go drug my children. You know what I said to one of them once? I said, I'll tell you what, are you a medical doctor? Well, no. I said, I'll tell you what, I'm going to sue you for medical malpractice medicine without a license. So shut your pie hole. Don't tell me what drug my child should be on. You will be sued for practicing medicine without a license. Try that on the school moms and the school nurses. You know, I'm telling you, the only thing that can save us is a lack of civility. I am telling you, get in their faces, but you got to do it intelligently. Just screaming and yelling and calling them names isn't enough. The next time one of these people in the schools tells you that your child is this or that because he dares give the truth or this or that, you say to him, if they say to you he should have medication, ask him if they're a medical doctor. And if they're not, say to them, you're practicing medicine without a license. I'm going to the state. I want your license pulled. I can guarantee you they'll shut up the next time, Tommy.
I already know how to stand up to them, but most people don't, and they cave, and that makes me sick.
Yeah, well, don't be civil. How's that? Don't be civil. You think Obama's civil? How about Mrs. Obama? Lecturing everybody to eat carrot sticks in a vegetable garden. Every time you look, she's eating a hamburger and French fries or ice cream. What's that all about?
It's elitism.
I wouldn't even call it elitism. It's double talk phonyism. Thanks for the call. All right, now what do you want to do? 43 minutes. They got the tickers going. I don't know why the cable channels exist anymore. Fox News stopped covering the Moscow bombing the next 6 hours later, it was gone. Instead of crying over this, crying over that, let's see, 76 minutes. The genius is about to speak. The man with the largest cranial capacity in the history of mankind will soon approach the podium, and he will deliver a message to every man on earth about how important it is to never say a word against them or against the Democrats. More importantly, you must be civil to the dictatorships of China and any other nation that they're kowtowing to, because if not, the TSA will come down and investigate you. It is now 75 minutes until the man with the largest cranium in the history of the human race gets up to speak to the people of the United States of America. And if you dare say the king has large ears, you will be suspect yourself. He only looks like Alfred E. Newman with an oversized shirt. If you say that, you'll be suspect yourself. If you dare say the man has said nothing for the last hour that he spoke and the morons kept clapping and I couldn't stand it, you'll be investigated by the FBI, the CIA, the NSA, the NSA, the LSMFT, and you yourself will be suspect for not agreeing that the king has no clothes. Okay, you get the picture? Don't let them fool you with this civility talk. It's an attempt to silence you and shut your mouth. Period. That's how I see it. That's all. State of the Union. State of the Union, all right? Cut out bilingual education. Cut out English as a second language. Start spending the money on the smart ones. You want to see a change in 10 years? That's number one, two, and three. Number four, tariffs on all imported goods. Tomorrow, tariffs on everything coming in. We need to rebuild our industries. Tariffs on steel. Tariffs on electronics. Tariffs on automobiles. Say, oh, you'll set up a trade war. They'll start doing it to us. No, they won't start doing it to us. No, they won't. They still need our manufacturing expertise until the lobbyists give it to them, give them all the technology to go along with the manufactured product. Listen, common sense could straighten the country out. There's no common sense anymore in the government, and there's less of it in the media, except for me. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Increases in the social programs, and here's why. First of all, the social programs at the state and local level are being decimated because states, unlike the federal government, states can't run a deficit. The federal government can and should in order to support these social programs. The social programs mostly benefit women. These are things like child care and after school programs and anti-violence programs and training programs. Those things are for women, but the interesting thing is that a lot of them employ women. So from my point of view, we really need those social programs enhanced,
see,
not cut.
This is the genius head of the National Organization for Women, Terry O'Neill, says that we can't cut any social programs. No way to cut any social programs. We need things like child care, after-school anti-violence programs. Okay, I'll let that stand on its own. No one wants to cut. Just how do you think they're going to cut it then? If every lobbyist in the world, including now, is screaming from the rooftops, don't cut my program or else we won't vote for you. Tell me who's going to cut their program. So who's going to listen to anybody? That's the beauty of America. Isn't that the genius of our system of government? That's the genius of our government. It is now 77 minutes until the largest cranial capacity in the history of mankind approaches the podium and tells us like it is, tells us what we need to do, have to do, what to do, tells us how to think, how to eat, how to sleep. Never to eat ice cream. Never again eat ice cream. Eat only carrot sticks. Be carbon neutral as he approaches the podium in a carbon neutral limousine. As he flies in a carbon neutral 747 specially designed for him, although it burns jet fuel, he purchases carbon credits from Jeffrey Immelt of General Electric to make certain that his airplane is carbon neutral. Whatever that means, he has no idea, because most of the idiots who are talking about carbon dioxide don't realize that, A, we're going through a little ice age again, number one. And number two, that if you eliminated carbon dioxide, all the plant life would die. And then, therefore, if all the plant life died, everything would die on Earth. Don't tell that to Al Gore, because I don't think he went to the seventh grade. Jackie in New York, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Oh, Dr. Savage, what a pleasure. You are the only...
Isn't it brilliant how nature or God designed the planet? Well, we breathe out our waste products from our mouth supports plant life and vice versa. Isn't it phenomenally genius that there's such a symbiosis? And yet you have idiots who come along like Al Gore, and they literally take nature upside down. They understand it upside down, and they start panicking the world that carbon dioxide is now the enemy. He doesn't even know what he's talking about.
No, because they're dealing with people who don't have enough education to understand that this is all.
How can we have increased science and math in the country when you have science illiterates in Congress? You have science illiterates in the press and on television. They don't even know what carbon dioxide is. They couldn't tell you the difference between CO2 and CO. They can't tell you the difference between BO and CO2. What's on your mind, Jackie?
Anyway, what I wanted to say is I listen to you every morning on Talk Radio Network archives because you're the only person I listen to now on the radio. I've stopped watching television.
I wouldn't listen to anybody else. I'm the only person worth listening to in the country.
Forced myself to listen to Obama's speech at the Tucson Memorial, and I thought it was a disgrace. You are the only person who has critiqued that in the appropriate way. I am so sick and tired of hearing everyone else.
Well, what did I say at the beginning? I quoted Rahm Emanuel, who said, never let a crisis go to waste. So they followed Saul Alinsky, the communist the street thug's book, to the T. They saw a crisis in Arizona, and they didn't let it go to waste. They exploited it, and they won. His ratings went up. Tonight they'll go up again. Why? Because there'll be no booing. There'll be nobody screaming out, you lie. They've all been cowed by the communist left. They're not even going to express any outrage over anything the liar-in-chief says.
Well, the ratings went up because all of these people on cable were saying how great the speech was.
Well, that's right, including faux news, right? I mean, even faux news to the last person standing. From Scarface on, everybody on phone news was glorifying Obama.
No, it's a disgrace. It's a disgrace.
Ah, let them do what they want. It's a free country. They all have they're entitled to their opinion. But all I can think of is this way to the egress every time I watch them on phone news. So what do you want to talk about in the waning moments of this hour of the Savage Nation? It is now 64 minutes until the most brilliant man in the history of the human species appears on the podium after arriving in his bulletproof, carbon-proof, carbon-neutral limousine. He arrives there, and they start cheering and clapping, and as he goes down, everyone shakes his hand like he's about to deliver the greatest speech in the history of the world, and before he even says three words, the clapping will start, and some mean-spirited Republicans will be shown sitting in their seats by the vermin in the media. The next thing you'll know, he'll speak again, saying, and therefore I say, we need more science, and we need more mathematics education. And tonight, hey, we're going to take every inner-city child who is shooting each other with a gun while selling crack. We're going to turn them into mini Einsteins. We're going to tell them, put down that crack. Don't sell those bundles. Instead, go to school and apply yourself, unlike your mother, because she don't even know who she is. Go to school and apply yourself like other generations have done so before. And that's how we're going to save America. We're going to teach them to become Einsteins and Niels Bohr. And every inner city child will get a science and a mathematics degree and become our next innovator so we can succeed and supersede and be like the people of China. That's what he's going to say to me. I can give you more hogwash. And tonight I say there'll be no more earmarks. Just look at my ears, and I'll tell you immediately that I mean no more earmarks. None whatsoever. You just look at my ears, and you can see I mean no more earmarks whatsoever. What is an earmark? Don't look at my ears, because you'll see a mark.
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Today is the State of the Revolutionary Union by Barack Hussein Obama. who is pretending to be a centrist now. I call it the altered State of the Union. The insane frenzy around Obama's upcoming State of the Union speech has gotten me turned off. The empty skirts in the media seem to get into this altered state every year, acting as if the president is the most important man on earth, as though he has some prescient abilities, as though there is such wisdom about to fall from his lips that we must all cease breathing, perhaps, and that they've never heard such a speech before. And every year, whoever the president is, they say nothing important and nothing changes for the better. I myself am not going to listen or watch the State of the Union at the end of this program, will you? Listen to what the Constitution states. The Constitution says that the president, quote, shall from time to time give to the Congress information of the State of the Union and recommend to their consideration such measures as he shall judge necessary and expedient, close quote. In the age of the Internet, radio, television, do we really need this pomp and circumstance, this absurd stupidity, this high school speech? I think that the State of the Union speech should be eliminated completely. And I'd like to ask this question. Is Obama your president? Is he your president? Do you feel he's your president? Remember, before Obama was, I wouldn't even say elected, before he had bought the seat, or shall I say those who put him in power bought his seat, liberals used to say, Bush is not my president. L.A. County, Marin County, many bumper stickers bore that phrase. Do you feel the same way about Obama? Is Obama your president? And what about the Islamist terror attack in Moscow? A day after the biggest Islamist terror attack in recent history, in Russia, the media has completely dropped the story. Why has the media still refused to identify the attacker as a Muslim? And what are Obama and Bixis doing to make sure a similar attack does not happen in the United States? That's my State of the Union today. 1-800-449-8255. MichaelSavage.com. All right, let's move on. The Republicans voted to repeal Obamacare. I told you it was a waste of time. It was a show trial. We knew that Schumer and the Democrat in the Senate would reject it, and we knew that he himself could override it. It gets to court. It goes to the Supreme Court. Supreme Court rules, rightly so, that the Obamacare plan is not only unconstitutional, but it's unfair from top to bottom. Three SEIU locals, including in the Chicago chapter, were waived from the Obamacare requirement. Do you think he did that because he's a benign president? Three local chapters of the Service Employees International Union, SEIU, whose political action committee spent $27 million supporting Obama in the 08 election, have received waivers from Obamacare and from the Obamacare law. These waivers are clearly payback. The fact of the matter is that unto itself should put a dagger right through the heart of this vampire called Obamacare. The SEIU, with more than 2 million members nationally, includes healthcare workers, janitors, security guards, and state and local government workers, right? And yet HHS, meaning a division of the Obamacare corporation, gave a waiver to local 25 SEIU in Chicago with 31,000 enrollees on October 1, 2010. Another waiver to local 1119 SEIU Greater New York Benefit Fund with 4,544 enrollees on October 10, 2010. And to the SEIU Local 1 Cleveland Welfare Fund with 520 enrollees on November 15, 2010. So thus far, the fair-minded, brilliant Obama has issued waivers to 222 entities, including businesses, unions, and charitable organizations, not to mention certain religions who are not going to be required to buy Obamacare. Of that total, 45 were labor organizations. Obamacare is unconstitutional, it's illegal, it's immoral, and it's fattening. This is the Savage Nation.
Savage.
C'è una luna a mezzumara, mamma mia, mamma di dare.
Figlia mia, cosa dare, mamma mia, pensaccia tu.
A lot of insults coming out of the Obama administration. Remember last week's mob bust on the same day that the head of a dictatorship from China arrived on the shores? Now, wasn't the Italian mob bust that was so loudly trumpeted by Eric Holder a clear case of racial and ethnic profiling by any analysis? They were all white, meaning European. They were probably all Catholic, and they were all ethnically Italian. This is clearly ethnic and racial profiling. What would have happened if old Eric Holder and the FBI had busted all African-American gangs in the hoods, and he dragged in 138 African-Americans over the age of 60? Or let us say he went to every mosque in America after listening in on them for 3 years, and he busted 138 old imams and others over the age of 50 with the holy robes and the beards, saying that we've interrupted a terrorist attack that was going to come, and they were all of the Muslim religion. Or he had done the same thing in the Chinatowns in America and cut down on the gamblings and the drug, or any other single racial or ethnic group. Do you think that there would be a loud outcry from the vermin in the media that this is out of bounds, it's racial profiling, why are there no whites in this? And not a peep. 100 and some odd Italians are pulled in. I'm sure they're not Snow White. But the fact is, it was clearly a targeted attack upon a single racial and ethnic group. And yet not one word from the media about this outrage by Eric Holder, our so-called attorney general. And I think this needs to be looked into. Is Eric Holder a racist, in plain English? Is Eric Holder a racist who will only go after European males when he attacks on such a level? I've not seen any African-Americans rounded up in these numbers out of the hoods, and we know there's all sorts of crime in the hoods around America. I haven't seen any members of MS-13 rounded up, and we all know that they're running the drugs and the illegal activities across America. Not one member of MS-13 was rounded up. Why is that? Ask yourself some of these questions. You have to ask yourself who Obama is that'll go after the Italians. Again, not Snow White. Again, probably involved in bad things, according to what we hear. But we know illegal immigration is destroying the United States of America. We know that police are afraid to go into certain districts of certain states. We know that the hordes of illegal aliens taking advantage of free medical care at hospital emergency rooms has caused dozens of hospitals across the state of California to completely shut down. And yet no one's investigating the massive fraud and the rings of illegal aliens who are abusing our medical systems, which is, to me, a clear crime. How about the fact that, according to the Center for Immigration Studies, some of the most notorious gangs in America are made up almost entirely of illegal immigrants, and that gang investigators in Virginia estimate that 90% of the members of MS-13, the most notorious immigrant gang, are illegal immigrants? How come there's no investigation by the FBI about these problems? How is it that Arizona police are being openly told that if they try to interfere with the drug traffic in their area, they'll be taken out by drug cartel snipers? How is it that each year it allegedly costs the states billions of dollars to incarcerate non-citizen illegal alien criminals that should never have been allowed into the country in the first place? How is it that the illegal aliens make up about 30% of the population in federal, state, and local prisons, and that the cost of keeping them in prison is more than $1.6 billion annually? Is this not a crime? How is it that no radical Muslims have been arrested en masse by the FBI? How is it that the hordes of illegal aliens coming in from the Middle East were not arrested by the FBI? And so forth and so on. So I postulate that the Italian mob bust of last week, coincidentally on the same day that the gang leader of China, I mean the president of China, arrived here, the very same day that the gang leader, I mean the president of China, arrived in America, the Italian mob bust was trumpeted by Eric Holder, and to me it's a clear case of racial and ethnic profiling. And I rest my case. 1-800-449-8255 is the phone number on the Savage Nation. Now, what would you like to say? Let's start with the big story, which is the Moscow bombing and how the vermin in the media refuse to connect it to the Islamo-fascist worldwide movement that threatens to destroy the world. Let's be very clear who did this. And let's be also be very clear, these are not occasional renegade individuals. This is coming from a centralized warehouse of hate. This centralized warehouse that hates Christians, hates Jews, hates America, hates moderate Muslims, hates Buddhists, hates Hindus, hates atheists. If you don't understand that, then you understand nothing. You have to understand that those who are inciting and waging the attacks, whether they be in Moscow or in Manhattan, are in fact of the same jihadi ideological background and the same nature as Al-Qaeda. The question is, how do you wage a worldwide campaign against these extremist ideologues, or these jihadists? And how can you win a war when you have a media that refuses to even name the enemy? How can you win a trade war when you have a media that is owned by the enemy, in part, and refuses to even say that China is conducting a trade war against the United States of America? And so if you look, wherever you look, you see the same problem in different form. You read papers saying appeasement is the proper policy towards Confucian China. And they write a long-winded story about World War I, and had we only appeased the Germans, there wouldn't have been World War I, and blah, 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 and hints of menace coming from China. And China's armed forces are now pushing forward preparations for military conflict in every strategic direction, and that the young officers in China are taking control of strategy, and it is likely young officers in Japan in the 1930s did the same, very much like that. It's a dangerous trend, and that China's on a collision course with a U.S.-dominated system from the military itself. And so what are we doing about it? Tell me exactly what we're supposed to do about it. Are we supposed to take the appeasement route? Or are we supposed to take aim at those who have targeted us because we are soft and say, that's the end of the road. This is a tough nation. We are tough people. We're hardworking people. The game is over. The Quislings are out. There's a new boss in town, a new sheriff. It's gun smoke. You want a showdown? You got a showdown. And that's it. Let's get it on already. Let's get it on while we can still use our military might. Let's get it on while we can still use our economic might. Let's get it on while we still have some moral imperative against these bums, and let's do it already. But you don't hear that. Everywhere you turn, you see one milquetoast after another popping up out of the woodwork. Newt Gingrich is going to save America. Mr. Mitt Romney wins a straw poll. Well, of course, he's a straw man again for the same party that gave us Barack Hussein Obama. So there's a lot to talk about in the Savage Nation, and there's actually a lot of humor out there as well. I read in the New York Daily News today that New York City is taking aim in taxes at rich like Alec Baldwin, who has various residences, and he says New York City is not his resident. He doesn't not a resident of New York City, even though he has a three-bedroom co-op on Central Park West. He says he really lives in the Hamptons. That's even though he comes into Manhattan to film his TV show, whatever he does, he doesn't want to pay the Manhattan income tax. What's interesting to me is how the liberals scream like geese the minute they get a tax bill. These are the same liberals who are screaming that they're in favor of higher taxes as long as they don't have to pay them. Tim Geithner forgets to pay his income taxes. John Kerry avoided state taxes on the yacht he bought with his money that his wife got from a Republican first husband by docking in Rhode Island. Charlie Rangel claims he didn't understand the tax laws that he apparently wrote. Democrat politicians, as you well know, are either stupid or hoping that you, the constituents of Democrats, are as stupid as they pretend to be. All communists don't think they have to pay, but you have to pay. Every last one of them is the same. Mr. Baldwin is now saying he's overtaxed. And didn't Joe Biden recently say paying higher taxes is patriotic? Didn't Nancy Pelosi saying that taxes are patriotic? Isn't that the edict of the Democrat Party, that taxes are patriotic? And yet, of course, you got these screaming left-wingers like Alec Baldwin screaming like stuck pigs now that New York City is saying, no, Alec, you don't really live in the Hamptons. You live in Manhattan. Pony up the New York City income tax. 1-800-449-8255. Lots of topics. So what do you want to talk about? Anything? Nothing? Let's go to Fort Lauderdale. Scott, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Michael, I got two answers for you tonight. One is the Italian question, and the other is the strongman that you're looking for. The first is, why Italian Americans up there? Because there's going to be no blowback from the media or the American public. It makes it look like they're doing their job. They're justifying their paycheck. Whereas if they went over the went after the Islamo-fascist, that contradicts the radical leftist philosophy, both in the media and in our college universities. They actually
said, what if they arrested 138 elderly African-American gang members over the age of 50 who were involved in every kind of crime known to mankind, who were decimating their own people in the poorest neighborhoods of America? How come they weren't rounded up?
Because that generates negative. That's not their agenda.
So therefore, Eric Holder is a racist, you could say.
I think you can make that conclusion.
Okay, well, I think that there's an argument to be made that if you arrest all white men of one particular ethnicity, you would say that that's racial and ethnic profiling. At least we could all agree on that, right?
Well, it goes back to the voting incident a year and a half ago where the Black Panthers were intimidating voters outside that voting booth, and they got...
Right, and Eric Holder threw the case out saying there was insufficient evidence.
Well,
all right, well, we got real problems. We have a communist running the United States of America as though it's his private fiefdom, and he's very unfair. And yet we have Republican standard bearers like John McShane telling us he's a wonderful, intelligent man, and no one stands up for anything right, whether it be China or the Islamo-fascist threat. Thanks for the call. This is the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Even though we've all learned that the Arizona murderer, Jared Loughner, did not listen to talk radio, the illegitimate left wing continues to place the blame on the right wing, conservatives, the Tea Party, Republicans, just about on anybody in any group except for the shooter himself. And joining us now to talk about this is columnist Jack Hunter.
Good to be with you as always, Michael. You know, in the wake of this horrible incident that happened a couple of weeks ago out there in Arizona, in Tucson, Arizona, where we saw who obviously was a deranged man, Jared Lee Loughner, who was the alleged suspect, the gunman, who not only took a federal judge's life, a 9-year-old girl's life, but seriously injured Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords, and what was just a horrible tragedy across the board. The story that has even almost overshadowed the actual tragedy, I guess is tragic in its own sense, is the left's reaction to this entire incident. I can't think of anything in recent memory that has revealed how liberals think and how despicable, what lows they will go to sort of get score political points, if you will, using things that had nothing to do with the incident to attack people like Sarah Palin, the Tea Party, talk radio, and the conservative movement in general.
Well, like what?
Let's start with one of their largest points of contention, that somehow Sarah Palin was responsible for this incident by releasing ads. Her organization, Sarah PAC, released an ad targeting, and that was the words used by not only critics in post-tragedy, the Arizona shooting tragedy, but, you know, by Sarah Palin and conservatives themselves. The ad targeted Gabrielle Giffords' district in a swing state midterm election. They were sort of, you know, trying to get some conservatives in there instead of liberal Democrats. And the left went after Sarah Palin, saying that using the language targeting or to, you know, don't retreat, reload, or the ad itself, in which you saw sort of a bullseye graphic over that district and many other districts and other swing states where you had vulnerable candidates, that somehow Sarah Palin and conservatives were culpable for Jared Lee Loughner's actions. I can't even begin to tell you how ridiculous that is, so let's go ahead and begin. First of all, targeting candidates, targeting districts, is part of the American political lexicon. It is so well established that in 2004, the Democratic National Committee used the same sort of graphic to target districts it thought might go towards John Kerry instead of George W. Bush. It used the same bullseye graphic, and the name of the DNC's ad campaign was called Behind Enemy Lines. Let's take this a step further. If you watch MSNBC and these dolts like Chris Matthews who say, well, this is to blame on all the gun rhetoric you hear out there, and these crazy Tea Partiers and right-wingers talking about the Second Amendment and their gun rights and so on and so on. Well, Mr. Matthews or the recently fired Keith Olbermann or any of these talking head shows, I would like to remind you that all of your formats are based on one of three programs, the McLaughlin Group, or Crossfire on CNN, or Firing Line, which was William F. Buckley's show in the 1970s and early 80s. So are William F. Buckley for having a show called Firing Line, or Pat Buchanan and Michael Kinsley and CNN for having a show called Crossfire in the 80s, culpable for the Jerry Lee Loughner shooting and using gun rhetoric and the Second Amendment and so on and so on? It's completely absurd, it's completely baseless, and it really reveals how liberals think and how despicable they will be in trying to score political points against their enemies.
Exactly.
Much of the focus on Sarah Palin, it must be said as well, you know, the left, the liberals, they have used Sarah Palin, and say what you will about her politically, this, that, and the other, symbolically to the left, she personifies everything they hate about conservatives, everything they despise about the Tea Party. They target her because in targeting her, it targets everything else. And excuse me, Michael, for using that term targeting, but that's just another example of how well-established that sort of jargon is. But in going after Palin, they're going after the Tea Party and conservatives as a whole. They personify all of their hatred and everything they despise about the right in her. That's why you saw the ridiculous reaction to the fairly innocent Sarah PAC ad with targeting Gabrielle Giffords' district and so on and so on. And even when Sarah Palin tried to reply and use the language blood libel. Now, excuse me for being ignorant of my history, and they tried to say that she was anti-Semitic, this, that, and the other. Completely absurd. Blood libel has been used in all sorts of other contexts that have nothing to do with the biblical context they tried to attach to her. And it's further indicative of their hatred for what we stand for as right-wingers or Tea Partiers, and they just decided to unload on Sarah Palin, quite frankly.
Oh, right.
The reaction we saw from the left, too, is indicative of how liberals think. Their political faith dictates their own facts.
Why do you say that?
Well, you know, regardless of the actual issues at hand, Jared Lee Loughner was not a talk radio fan by all accounts. He was not even a man of the right or left. In fact, it would be disingenuous to try to categorize him politically. The New York Times reported that he would become incensed at the sight of George W. Bush. It's doubtful he even has ever paid attention to anything Sarah Palin or the Tea Party has ever done. But yet they let their own political faith dictate their own facts. They take terms, to use another example, anytime we talk about states' rights or Jefferson principles. They say that we must be talking about slavery. Anytime the Tea Partiers say they want to take their country back, liberals never stop to consider that it might be, you know, about a $14 trillion national debt, a runaway Federal Reserve, all this sort of government largesse. It's not taking your country back from that. The liberals say it must be white middle-class conservatives wanting to take it back from a black president. Well, now in the wake of this shooting, anytime we say we're going to target a politician, target a political district, as people on the right and left have done for decades, it's part of American politics. I pointed out earlier, the show Crossfire on CNN, William F. Buckley's Firing Line, that's how we speak here in America when we talk about politics. But from here on out, much like they say states' rights is code for slavery, take our country back has some sort of subliminal racist message, we're now going to hear that anytime you target politicians or political districts, we are somehow subliminally inciting right-wingers to go out and start shooting people, which is completely absurd, but it shows you how liberals think and how despicable and ridiculous they really are.
Well, I've been saying that for years on the Savage Nation.
Well, and besides the tragedy itself, which is indeed tragic, the horrible violence that was visited upon a federal judge, that poor 9-year-old girl and Gabrielle Giffords, the real tragedy is, for all their talk from the left about the vitriol and hatred in American politics and that we need to tone things down, no, we don't. A crazy person's going to do crazy things, and in fact, the only thing that could possibly stop them, as I've pointed out ad nauseum, are people like Mr. Joe Zamudio, who are one of the two people who tackled Jared Lee Loughner to the ground, who had a carry and conceal weapon. Arizona has very liberal carry and conceal laws where people can carry and conceal firearms, and that makes everybody safer. What do the liberals say? We need more gun control. According to the liberals, a guy like Joe Zamudio, who has said he would not have been brave or bold enough to tackle Mr. Loughner, would not have done that if he didn't have an equalizer in the form of a firearm. The liberals say, well, we should have taken that from him. Completely ridiculous. And they talk about the vitriol and hatred. The real vitriol and hatred is coming coming from the left, toward the Tea Party, toward conservatives, towards former Governor Palin, and across towards talk radio, people like you and I, Michael. That is where the real vitriol and hatred is coming from.
Exactly.
And I repeat, irony upon irony, if there is another Jared Lee Loeffner, and we know there will be, you can't stop these crazy people from doing things, they will be far more influenced, in my opinion, by the massive media coverage this incident has received and trying to make a name for themselves and trying to become infamous than any of the things the left is complaining about. It won't be because of my language or your language or Sarah Palin's ads or talk radio or the existence of gun language and so on and so on. It will be because people like Chris Matthews and Rachel Maddow and the New York Times and the Washington Post have made a big deal out of nothing. This is not conservatives' fault. It is Jared Lee Loeffner's fault. And the quicker they can get that for their stupid liberal heads, the safer we will all be, because it won't be encouraging further nut jobs to carry out the same horrible acts.
What do you think they should do?
I think it's interesting, Michael, that, you know, the left will say that the Tea Party needs to take to task those who hold signs comparing Barack Obama to Adolf Hitler, or, you know, those who talk about the birth certificate and all that, this sort of, you know, sort of side issues compared to big government. They say the Tea Party must take these people to task. Well, I'm asking liberals and the left to take their own to task for their own culpability in creating an environment out there that might encourage future Jared Lee Loeffners. Them making a bigger deal out of this and making this guy famous on some sort of perverse level will do far more to encourage future acts than anything I say, you say, talk radio, Sarah Palin, across the board. And the quicker they can figure that out, I'm asking them, liberals, if you're listening, take your own side to task. You take some accountability. How culpable will you be when the next act goes down? And you can say, I'm being ridiculous, but hey, I'm actually being as reasonable or as ridiculous, however you want to look at it, as you have been throughout this entire tragedy. This is nobody's fault but that of a crazed gunman. It is not the fault of American politics, how we talk, how we debate. We shouldn't censor our discourse. It's completely ridiculous to suggest otherwise. But anyway, as always, Michael, we'll get through this, and there will be future things to talk about. I appreciate you having me on, and I encourage your listeners, if they're interested in this, to visit SouthernAvenger.com. Take care.
Thanks for the report, Jack. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Today we're going to go from Sartre to the Sizzler, meaning, well, that's the passage in America, from Sartre to the Sizzler. It started out with him reading Sartre, Hemingway, Henry Miller. He did his big trip to Europe. He walked along the Seine, shopped in the bookstalls, stayed in the pensions, love in the afternoon, across the river and into the trees, for whom the bell tolls, a farewell to arms, Hemingway, sailfish, Cuba, Fiji, exploration, the heights, authorship. It ends in the Sizzler along the highway. He can't take restaurants anymore. He can't take people anymore. He can't take owners who talk too much and produce so little. The Sizzler, the last stop on the train, from Sartre to the Sizzler without the sizzle. And here's how it ends. The 6-ounce senior steak I'm sorry. The 6-ounce senior steak special. $9.95, all-you-can-eat salad bar included, plus a baked potato. The meat tasted as though it had been killed during the Roosevelt administration. In a cold storage locker in Denver since 1945. In a government warehouse purchased by the Sizzler's owner from the war profiteer's grandson. In a New York stock trade. Sizzler, Spitzer, 6-ounce steak, killed in 1945. That's how it ends. Sizzler, 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 without the sizzle, without the Sartre, reaching for the stars and ending up on a rocking horse, trying to ride a thunderbolt to heaven and ending up in an air-conditioned Prius. from a Vespa to a Mercedes, from flying boats to frying oats, from flying fish to Gorton's fish sticks, from Marx's dialectics to Bush's dyslexics, from a vicious chow to a poodle now, from metaphysics to Metamucil,
From deep conversation to TV vibrations. From Tonga's beaches to Miami Beach. From metaphysics to Metamucil. From a rowboat to a powerboat. From Columbia River salmon jumping in the sun to packaged locks without fun. From jumping out of airplanes to creeping in the slow lane. From skiing down Mount Rose to holding garden hose. From scooters in Mallorca to Hooters in a Walker. From Sartre to the Sizzler. I know you didn't expect it. You thought I would do something else today. You want me to talk about extremism and the media and Letterman the slime ball? I'll do all of that, believe me. But I needed some cafe music today. And it leads me to the first question, for those of you who understood any of what just played here on this show, which is so out of the box that it's impossible to comprehend if you would comprehend it. How do you reconcile your youthful dreams with your life as it is now, is the question. I don't want to do politics today at all. That's why I'd rather tell jokes about the Sizzler. And that's why I said to you, many of you understand what I was talking about, of how do you reconcile your youthful dreams with your life as it is now. I mean, you started out wanting to be a baseball player, an astronaut, and you're probably selling vacuum cleaners or .com or websites. I don't know what you're doing. And so I made up a whole bunch of funny couplets, from the Vespa to the Mercedes, from flying boats to frying oats, from Marx's dialectics to Bush's dyslexics, from a vicious chow to a poodle now, from metaphysics to Metamucil, from Tonga's beaches to Miami Beach, from metaphysics to Metamucil, from a rowboat to a powerboat, from Columbia River salmon jumping in the sun to packaged locks without fun, to scooters in Mallorca to Hooters in a Walker. No, not funny. I think some of it's funny. Okay. I tried comedy. You don't want comedy. You want hard right-wing talk. Is that what you tuned in for? You want hard right-wing talk? You want me to talk about the real loss of freedom of speech as opposed to the ersatz variety? I'm sick of this. New York, Tom, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yeah, Michael, that introduction was brilliant. From Sartre, No Exit, to Hemingway, The Sun Also Rises. It was absolutely unbelievable to end up in the Sizzler.
So, Tom, in other words, you understood the entire gestalt of what I was trying to say.
Absolutely. It was brilliant. Tom,
what it comes down to is this. We're at almost an end point here in American politics. We had Bush, a phony conservative. We have Obama, who's a very real Marxist with protectors in the media, including Fox News, who won't say the M word, even though the guy is a naked Marxist. It's astounding to me what's going on. It's almost not worthwhile talking about politics since the entire construct is a lie.
Michael, if there's anybody that can save America, it's you. Believe me.
Oh, come on. I'm just a talk show host. I can't save anything. When you have Barack Obama getting away with what he's getting away with, going to the Middle East and attacking America. And that's why I didn't want to do politics today, because I get very angry. I get very caught up in what I believe in. Ask anyone who knows me if I actually believe what I say, or you think I'm doing it for effect. I have a gift. I have a comedic gift. I don't exactly repress it, but I'll tell you what happens. The politics override my natural sense of humor. I'm actually a funny, nice guy inside when I can be, not when I want to be. When I can be. And you can't be that for very long for a very long period of time. If I were to do 1 hour of radio a week, for example, 1 hour a week, I would do all comedy. It would have a slight political orientation, but it would be all comedy. Comedic in the political arena is, by the way, the finest place to be. The toughest place to be is to be comedic in the political arena without getting nasty. It's the toughest place to get into and the hardest place to stay. Let me tell you that. It's much easier to do the rhetorical stuff and deal with the politics and straight-out English, the plain truth, and tell you how I see it. I can do that until kingdom come. That's why I did the Sartre to the Sizzler. I don't know how many of you enjoyed it. He says gambler do a thing like that for one reason. It's like you say, the younger audience won't get it because the reference points are not there. They don't know who Sartre is. They don't know what Marx's dialectics are. They don't know half of the references that you make. But my audience, let us say, is an older audience, which it is, and I know that. You're supposed to hide that? The older audience, the audience that I have, which is like 40, let's say mainly a 40 up white males, They're the ones with the money who buy everything. I'm supposed to worry about an 18-year-old bisexual with three earrings on his torso? I'm supposed to appeal to him? Are you crazy? They don't buy anything. They can't afford anything. So I may as well talk to my audience. What do I care about the 18 to 22-year-old guy with the rings all over his torso? I say to myself. So that's why I did this. It brought up a greater question, if you want to get into the question of philosophy, in a minor philosophy, popular philosophy, put it to you that way. Everyone listening to this show over the age of 40 had dreams as a youth and is now leading a different life than they dreamed of. 99% of us do not live the life of our dreams. 99% of us don't live the life of our dreams. Why? Because they're called dreams. Because a child has these dreams. A man has to get real in the real world of making a living and having a family. That's different than wanting to be an astronaut or a ball player. Now, some of you have become what you wanted to be, admittedly. That is the smallest percentile.
Savage.